Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Her name is not Karen. She is like the epitome of a Karen, is she not? And I love Karens. I have a Karen that's really close to me. She's kind of a Karen. Hello, Addison.
Billy Dukes. This episode, we have some characters that I haven't seen in a hot minute that we got to see.
Okay, so let's just call this episode what it was. And this is sort of like rehearsal dinner before the wedding. It's casual. Everyone gets a little something special, a little treat, all the thank yous, the important people that are around, maybe people you haven't seen in a while. I mean, we're bringing back Christina and Laramie and Lynette and Emily. I mean, we got Texas country artists like Hayes Carl making an appearance. There's the Turnpike Troubadours. All of his friends are getting a song on this episode. Bella Hadid, why the hell not? Join us on this fine episode. Random cook Charlie Ferguson from Texas. Yes, sir. I mean, I was looking for Mia and Avery to come poking around somewhere. Didn't see them, but I'm not through watching the credits yet, so maybe they appeared.
That was a great analogy of, it totally was a rehearsal dinner. It was kind of like the final bow. Where you're having everyone come out, you know, give a little nod. It so was. I literally haven't thought about that till this very moment.
So Taylor Sheridan kind of strikes me as a guy, like, when he's doing well, all of his friends are going to do well, right? Like, he's making money, his friends are going to get involved and make money. This is also like a last paycheck for some of these stars as well. Like, Laramie, yeah, come on, we'll get you a few thousand bucks there. Christina, who's... forget that actress's name. Like, she made a random appearance and had a really pivotal role in this episode.
Do you remember last episode when I said or it might have been two episodes ago, where I was like, there's no way she's coming back. Yeah. I ate every single word I said.
Are we sure her name's not Karen? Because she is like the epitome of a Karen, is she not? And I love Karens. I have a Karen that's really close to me. But she's kind of a Karen.
But you know what? Taylor Sheridan did not want to give extra money to the child, James, because James does not make an appearance. And that made me laugh. I was like, oh, nope, we can't show the kid. But also, I'm like, maybe that baby, like, they couldn't get the baby, like, the baby's now older, or, like, you know, there's so many logistics there.
Yeah, he's like, screw that baby. I hate that baby. I mean, it was something else. Now, listen, this isn't to speak ill of this episode, because I kind of liked this episode once I sort of recognized it, whatever it was. And there was some things that happened between the cracks that I think we need to get to. But let's take care of some of the structural things we do first.
Oh, you mean like trivia?
Trivia. Yeah, mostly trivia.
Alrighty. Remind me what trivia last week was.
Okay. It was an easy one. Okay, let me rephrase that, because I don't want to make anybody feel dumb. It was an easy one to figure out. It just took a little bit of a Google search. But this was a trivia question. And once again, we do the trivia questions for one of our great pieces of merchandise over at the Taste of Country store, and something from the Y collection. You can choose one of the t-shirts from the Y collection and we'll ship it to you. If you are the first person to correctly answer the trivia question at staff@tasteofcountry.com. And last week, the trivia question was, what was Colby's last name?
And for anyone who was mildly offended by Billy's calling us dumb, just kidding. I did not know Colby's last name. So I'm in everyone else's boat if you did not know. And I didn't Google, so I also didn't put any effort into it.
Well, they said it during episode 13.
Did they really? It wasn't a funeral, but just a moment of silence.
That's right. They did. Colby Mayfield. Mayfield.
Who got it right?
Congratulations to Scott from Virginia. He was first in. Scott, you get to pick out one of those fantastic t-shirts from the Y collection, tasteofcountrystore.com. And I'll be in touch, Scott, via email if you want to get back to me with your size and selection there and color choice. I also need to give a shout out to our friend Johnny, who has just been trying so hard to get these trivia questions and be first in. Like he tweets at us, emails with us, and great listener, really appreciate him. He was 6 minutes too late this time.
I was brokenhearted
for you.
Wait, that makes me brokenhearted. It is fun interacting. I mean, y'all feel free to do what he does. We love, I don't know, I always love seeing that we got a mention on Twitter and, or sorry, X, and getting to interact. It puts like, I guess, personalities to our listeners.
This week's trivia question is actually more has to do with 1923, which I want to talk about briefly at the end because we got a little 1923 news, as well as Landman. And one of our favorite actresses, Michelle Randolph is a star of both shows. She plays Jack's wife on 1923, and then she plays Tommy Norris's daughter on Landman, which is a lot of fun because the role is like a 17-year-old girl, and I think Michelle Randolph is closer to 30. The question is, Michelle Randolph has a very famous sister. Who is she, and why is she famous?
I do know this one.
I knew you would. I knew you would. This is right in your wheelhouse. Yep.
This is right in my wheelhouse. I've never been more excited. Dang it. And I can't win a merch, but
nope.
Staff, wow, I do know this one.
Staff at tasteofcountry.com with that correct answer.
Wait, sorry, I was talking over you. Staff@tasteofcountry.com is where you can send that answer. I will say, I think very famous is a little dramatic, but she's famous.
Fair.
That's all I'm going to say.
At one time, she was very famous. Now, less famous.
In the eyes of the beholder, whatever. Okay, I'm not going to give it away.
Yeah.
Let's talk about why people came to our podcast to talk about Yellowstone.
Yes. I want to start by asking you a question.
Cool. Shoot.
The first third of this episode took place down in Texas. Beth went and visits Travis, played by Taylor Sheridan. Uh-huh. It is a moment on the show. What was your opinion of all the scenes involving Travis, the cowgirls, and everything that happened at the Travis's house? What was your opinion of all of that?
One, I didn't realize how jacked Taylor Sheridan was. Step one.
Yeah.
Step two, it kind of like those scenes at first, I just kind of, I eye rolled a little bit of what on earth. But then I thought to myself, wait a minute, this is like when I think of Travis, like we haven't really seen, you know, the life of Travis, if you will, outside of just his 9 to 5. And it fit. It fit what I would have had pictured for him. And so, honestly, I thought it was funny. The only thing I didn't fully understand is Bella Hadid's cameo. I don't know if Taylor Sheridan just has a little crinkle on her and it's like, let's just add you in. But Bella Hadid is a supermodel. Her sister, actually sister and mom, the Hadid sisters, and I don't know what their mom's name is. But anyways, they're all supermodels. They are not actresses. And so I was a little confused of that cameo. I mean, we could have had a barrel racer, someone famous in the rodeo world. Granted, I will say Bella Hadid, she's dating a cowboy in real life. And I know Bella does a lot of cutting with horses. There's been various videos of her doing it. So she does have, when I saw it, I wasn't completely annoyed, just thinking, okay, you do actually have a little bit of, your foot is in this world to a degree.
So we talked about this a little bit last week because we thought she was in last week's episode. And as it turns out, maybe it was just a rogue credit mention. Because
I think it was a rogue credit.
Yeah, I do too, because she was definitely in this episode. She was Taylor Sheridan's girlfriend. And let's just say, is that not a dude thing to do? Like this supermodel who wants to be on your show. Oh, okay, great. Taylor, who am I going to play? Oh, you're going to be my girlfriend. Because why the hell not? Like, granted, she can ride all these horses and that would have been super awesome to see like a mom. You're going to be my girlfriend because I want people to think that we're a thing, if only for a few. How much separation do you think there is between Taylor Sheridan and Travis? Do you think they're the same personality or do you think this is acting? Like, I kind of want to know the answer to this question really bad.
My initial thought is it's the same person. I would love to meet him in real life and him be the complete opposite and me be so floored and shell-shocked. But I kind of think he's the same person.
This is the kind of guy that Addison loves to hate. The Travis. The Travis character. There's a country singer, and I'm not going to mention his name, but has a lot of these characteristics. And this is Addison's, like, just hates.
Billy, hates, I've never thought about that till this moment. Kind of personality. And I'm going to say Billy's spot on. You're not wrong.
So it goes back to what I said at the beginning of the episode, though, that this was sort of an opportunity. This whole episode was just about making sure that everybody got their moment. And Taylor's like, you know what? I'm getting my moment here in a big way. Because this was a big Taylor Sheridan sort of ego play. I don't know that necessarily we needed 20 minutes to this scene to get Beth there. No. The Beth strip poker thing was, I found it a little bit unbelievable that she was going to go along with that. For some odd reason, but it got the job done, and you know, it was harmless and fun in the big picture. Like, it was kind of fun, it was entertaining, a good chuckle, and moved us along. I didn't have any issue with it, but it was like, okay, I see what we're doing here.
But without it, it wouldn't have, there wasn't a plot missing if it wasn't in there.
We could have gotten to the same place much quicker.
Yes. Do you feel like this episode, I was expecting, number one, we didn't have any deaths, unless I'm forgetting one. Right? No.
Nope. And we can introduce the our weekly segment of ways Billy was wrong, because I thought Lloyd was going to die, and
yeah,
Lloyd is not dead.
It's okay. I also thought that Jamie was going to be dead, and he's still alive. This episode, I mean, we only have one episode left, so I felt like this didn't have the action or plot moving points that you would expect only having one episode left. Honestly, it wasn't my favorite episode. I kind of was like, there wasn't a ton of movement. This felt as if we had six more episodes to go and they just need a filler. And we're not there.
The movement was quiet. There certainly wasn't any big actions, but there were some things that happened that kind of advanced the show a little bit. A lot of people, I think Sterling messaged us saying he thought maybe they'd have to do a 2-hour finale. I'm not sure that's the case. I think they can wrap this thing up in an hour. Because... Okay, so let's break it down a little bit. The things that actually happened that were important to the plot moving forward. The first one, chronologically within the episode, and you might have even forgotten about it because it was so brief and probably lost, but Mo and Chief Rainwater were plotting ways to stop the pipeline, and it sounds like they're going to steal all the pipe.
Oh, yes.
So
I forgot about that, actually, because it was brief.
Very brief, very brief. I thought that was a strange thing, and... Gosh, that could end up going nowhere. It could be just one of those things that happens on Yellowstone, but it feels like that has to... Why even include that little scene and push the episode kind of long if you're not going to come back to that next week?
But do you think enough's going to happen in one episode for us to be not only satisfied, but create a resolution?
Just need to explain why it happened to begin with.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I kind of lean towards Sterling if this needs to be a 2-hour episode.
It very well may be, but so the biggest thing is, I think, Jamie. And in this episode, a lot happens to Jamie. First of all, we see Markwood Equities in a board meeting. Mm-hmm. And they're Ellis, the lawyer, is trying to explain that Sarah Atwood worked for them and she could be involved in this hit. And now she's been killed. And then just as he's saying that, the FBI blow in and start investigating the office, her office. And, you know, this takes Markwood Equities' plans off the map, I feel like. And I kind of predicted that last week, that they're going to be out of play now, and especially for the airport, now that they basically hired a hitman to go after the governor of Montana. So that's sort of a big step in motion. And that has big implications for Jamie.
But he's going to be dead.
I think he's going to be dead. I don't know if he'll be dead by the hands of Markwood Equities. But Do you think that, so Jamie, the newscasters seem to have figured out that Jamie was having a relationship with Sarah. Do you think Beth was the leak there? Or do you think it was Claire? Because you remember a few episodes ago?
Yes. Well, and I also realized he was screaming at the TV, how do you know? How do you know? And then he just gets this wide-eyed look. And I realized that we never circled back to who it was, like who he knew that it was, right?
We didn't. Yeah. But I think it was probably Beth, because the Deerfield scene in particular was one that was specific. Only Beth knew that that happened, unless they had some cameras on it. So that was pretty interesting.
Remind me of Jamie's baby mama's name.
Christina.
Christina. I eye rolled when he pulled up to her house, because I was like, once again, Jamie can't fend for himself. He has to go and get help from someone. Man up, dude.
Well, I was like that too. And at the end of the day, I was kind of disgusted with that scene. It's like, oh my gosh, this couple. Like, you just hate them at this point. It's like Jamie is lying to her now, and he's actively lying. He can't even pretend to be innocent. You remember her background, though. She was his campaign manager when he was going to run for governor, but I believe she was also a lawyer prior to that, or maybe she just did publicity. So like strategies like this are very much in her wheelhouse. So it kind of makes sense why he would go back to her. And my gosh, she put together a pretty good plan and without much thought.
Yeah.
And delivered
it to
him. That
was quick on her feet.
Will it work? I don't know. But basically the concept is, let me think this through here. He's going to investigate the death of John Dutton aggressively. He's going to own the fact that he was working with her on the Markwood Equities. Yeah, he's going to own the fact that he's working with her on the Markwood Equities plan to build the airport. But he's going to investigate her death and really make this big sort of loss for the state of Montana and really kind of stake a flag in that. And hopefully make himself protected somehow from obviously being involved in all of this.
What other plot points were subtle, but you felt like moved this episode along?
Casey's plan at the end of the episode. Casey has a plan for the ranch and how he's going to save it. And who is ultimately going to get the ranch. And he starts and kind of, I was going deep down like Montana tax code at the end of this episode.
Not surprised. But
because he says some things that didn't really make a lot of sense to me. He starts off by asking Beth how much her car is. And if she sold it to him for a dollar, what would the sales tax be? And she says it'll only be on a dollar. And that I think what they're alluding to is they're going to give the ranch away. And that's all basically what he tells Monica at the very end. They're going to save the ranch by giving it away, more or less. And to me, there's only one obvious recipient for who is going to receive the ranch.
Rainwater.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. And this, you know, I think if there's anything that we've all been right about, it's that, and not just you and I mean, so many people have predicted this on YouTube, and the idea that the seven generations thing, as was said in 1883, is going to come full circle. That's exactly what appears to be happening. I don't know necessarily. So I actually did do a little tax research on this to find out if what the issues were in Montana. Montana doesn't have a gift tax or an estate tax necessarily, but there is some federal taxes that could kick in, pretty significant federal taxes. Maybe they're planning on covering those because the Duttons would be liable for all of that. It's like 40% on a property that's worth over $1 million or something like that. It's super, super high. But they're obviously preparing for a huge tax bill anyway, because they raised $30 million and they're not even sure that's enough money.
Which that's, yeah, wild.
It might be the only thing we were right on with this whole entire season is that Rainwater and the natives are going to end up with the ranch. But why didn't Beth think of that? She's like, why didn't I think of that? Like, why didn't she think of that? Like, that didn't seem to be that hard. We all thought of it.
Because I think it, Casey really hasn't had too many leading points when it comes to just the direction of the ranch. I mean, I feel like Beth takes the bull by the horns quite literally and is kind of the conductor of all that movement. And so I think having Casey be that character and point person. I don't know. I think it just shows that he's stepping into a role, especially after his father died, as more like the leader. So I like that he was the one who came up with it.
Have you ever been to a horse auction?
No, but I want to.
I kind of want to as well. They made it look a lot of fun.
You know what's happening right now that I'm really bummed that we're not at? The NFR. That's sure. Fine.
Yeah, that's in Vegas, isn't it?
Uh-huh. It's this weekend and next weekend, but who's keeping count? I don't know. Not me.
Have you been to that before or a rodeo?
I've been to the Austin rodeo. It's nothing, not saying it's nothing to write home about. I should rephrase that. Yes, I've been to the Austin rodeo. I this year went to the PBR in the bull riding in Bridgestone Arena here. So much fun.
Nice.
I'm all in.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it looked like a lot of fun to be at that. I mean, that was quite a party they were throwing. And I love when the Yellowstone crew gets all dressed up in like their official Yellowstone duds.
Same. I agree.
Teeter had a nice moment with Beth during this episode. They went out to the bar to kind of pick up and then cut up men, as Beth put it. And that was good comic relief, I thought.
Very good comic relief.
Teeter's acting. Good, bad. What did you think of her performance kind of in this episode? Because this was kind of actor Jen Landon's sort of big moment. A lot of it relied on her sort of emotions.
I think she did a good job. I think she was Teeter. Like, I don't think she's going to win an Oscar over it, but I didn't think it was bad acting. Did you?
You know, I don't think I thought it was bad acting. I thought the writing of it might have been a little bit difficult, but I don't know how you write that sort of emotional scene for a character like Teeter and have it come across as authentic. It's weird seeing her cry face. You know what I mean? Like some people have a strange sort of, I'm crying face. Teeter's is really weird.
Well, she might've had Botox like that. I mean, I don't know. I need to go rewatch that, but that just might be her face. I didn't think too much into it.
Laramie makes a return.
Which is literally just a cameo in and of itself, because it's not like she had more than two lines and just a makeout scene with Ryan Bingham, which is so fun because that's her real life husband, which that's just fun to see.
The camera pans to Lloyd, and Lloyd's still salty about it. Man, he's still upset that Ryan got that girl. It's like, dude, can't let that poor one guy go.
Poor guy. Can't win them all, Lloyd. And then real quick. And I know that they kept, so in that scene where it's essentially, you know, any cowboy who had a partner comes back into the picture. And obviously we see that Teeter's recognizing that, is having a hard time. But then they keep panning to Ryan, and I couldn't decide if it's because he realized, like, it just hits him more that Colby isn't there. Or part of me was like, is it because Abby, aka Lainey Wilson, isn't there?
I thought Abby.
Oh, you thought Abby. Okay.
I did. Yeah.
Just because I just keep trying to figure out a world in which she comes back for the very last episode.
I have a hard time, especially if it's a 1-hour episode. I have a hard time.
I did think, did they? I never read the logistics of that casting the extra moment for Lainey's scene. Could it be for Landman? I mean, if it's in Fort Worth, could it?
How far away is Fort Worth from Midland?
Kind of
far.
That's
a pretty good poke, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but oh, why? This is why I thought it. Okay. Yes, it's far. But remember I told you that my uncle and aunt, their country club in Fort Worth, Landman filmed some of their scenes on that golf course. So that's what made me think.
Okay.
Why would they film it in Fort Worth? They did film those in Fort Worth, so that's why I was like, wait, maybe.
Okay, I could buy that. You brought up Landman, and we got a decent response about people wanting to talk a Landman moving forward. I think we'll have to kind of wait to see what the show gives us. At this point, I don't know how we could do a weekly podcast breaking it down, because it's just sort of, you know, I'm going to make this point on Taste of Country this week, but the show lacks a plot. which is a bit of a problem when, when you're trying to break down a plot. Like not having a plot to break down is... Now that could change here. Maybe these first four or five episodes are just sort of exposition and we're going to get somewhere. But I'm waiting, kind of waiting to see that. We'll find out though.
No, I agree. It's been a, we said that last episode or two episodes ago, it's been a little bit of a harder watch just because it's kind of like, what are, what's going on here?
I looked up the girl singing the national anthem at the end.
Sienna, who was it?
Sienna Paglia is that artist.
She seemed legit.
Yeah. I mean, there, this was the, probably the most music heavy episode I can remember of Yellowstone. I think Stapleton had a song in there. I heard a Brothers Osborne song in there.
Mm-hmm.
There was a good 6, 7, 8 songs that were featured pretty prominently. And then, of course, Trim Park Troubadours, which is a really, really big band to have on Yellowstone. So that, that was pretty cool. All right. So we're getting towards the finale. The finale is next week. I guess we got to find out. I mean, Jamie and Beth have to clash, right? This, we have to have our scene, some sort of shootout. One of them lives, one of them dies. Like, does that have to happen in your eye?
That has to happen. If it doesn't, I'm going to be so confused.
Yeah. I think so too. I think Jamie has to die, frankly. I mean, if Jamie kills Beth, that doesn't wrap the plot up to me. That
no, still it doesn't satisfy anything.
No. So Jamie's got to go. Rip, live or die.
Oh, he lives.
I agree. Casey?
He lives.
Casey's family.
They live. That's not even a question in my mind.
All the bunkhouse boys, any cowboys get killed?
I think the only person who's getting killed is Jamie.
I'm going to predict two deaths.
Okay. Who?
I'm going to predict Jamie. I don't know who the other one is. I'm going to stick with my Lloyd prediction.
I don't really know what that satisfies, but okay.
Double down.
Y'all heard it here first. I said Jamie, Billy says Jamie, and Lloyd. staff@tasteofcountry.com is where you can let us know your thoughts on who dies.
We do know a little bit now about 1923. Season 2 has a date. If you've been watching Yellowstone on the Paramount Network, you'll be happy to see, hear that, well, you might have noticed it last night. Season 1 has started airing on the Paramount Network, and they're going to run episodes back to back, basically until the new year. And then season 2 of 1923 is going to begin on February 23rd.
If we thought we were going to have some downtime, we are not, which I'm happy about, not complaining by any means.
Not much at all. And I didn't really gather too much from watching the 2 15-second teasers. I got to break them down a little bit, but I didn't really, nothing that really stuck out. There's been no new actors announced. And I guess we'll have to at some point rewatch that show and have sort of a, what the heck happened on 1923, episode of this podcast, but we'll do that a little bit closer to February because really excited about that show. That I think that was the show where you and I both agreed was really, really strong from start to finish.
Yeah, 1883 I could have done without. Yellowstone I enjoy. 1923 was kind of a mixture of both.
So 1883, to be fair though, like your objection was just basically how graphic and emotional it was, right? Or did you actually think that the writing and plot and acting was poor?
No, it was just, it was too gory for me.
Very gory. Yeah.
It was just a little much.
Of the three, it was the most. But yeah, really, really excited to break down 1923. And then after that, well, maybe they'll pick up with Madison or one of these other shows here pretty quickly so we can kind of keep rolling. But
and then at some point, I think Taylor Sheridan needs to be giving us a cut.
Or at least an interview. Have you ever stopped and thought about like how much, so how many obstacles Yellowstone had to sort of push through? I mean, they had to get through a pandemic, Kevin Costner drama, 2 strikes. I give them a little bit of sort of a little bit of latitude when it comes to some of the plot holes that we've talked about, because there's just a lot they had to sort of navigate around. And
true.
It didn't help that Taylor added another 5 or 6 shows in the course of all this.
It's got a lot of things that he's juggling. No, that is true. Anything else before I get to some fan questions, thoughts, comments?
No, not at all. Hit me.
Sweet. Okay, the first one I have for us is from Dustin, who says, during the previews for the upcoming episodes, the narrator specifically says, quote, only 2 episodes left until the season finale of Yellowstone. I noticed they said season finale instead of series finale. Thoughts? Is this just wishful thinking on my part that the series will continue?
This was from episode 12. After episode 12, there was that little line about multiple episodes. And to answer his question, is it wishful thinking on his part? The only reason I'm going to say yes to that question, Dustin, is because I feel like we've gone down this hole with Rabbit, with the different spinoffs previously, and they've not really led us anywhere satisfying. It's been wasted energy. I do like the idea of a Rip and Beth themed season 6 of some sorts, maybe even under a different name, but I can't say with any certainty that that's going to happen.
Yeah. And to, I mean, even the small inconsistencies of putting Bella Hadid's name in the credits of last episode and her not even being in it, I think it's just a miss, just a typo in the sense of someone just didn't look at it deep enough.
Agreed.
Karen says, and how can you not be totally distraught, Billy? He died minutes after he told Teeter he loved her for the first time. Such a beautiful moment between our favorite or second or third Yellowstone couple. I sobbed at his death. I sobbed at Teeter's reaction, and I sobbed at Carter's reaction. Amen, Karen. As I said on the episode that we covered that, I was sobbing. So many tears.
As a whole, people did not care for my casual response for Colby's death.
Heartless Billy Dukes.
I don't know. It just didn't hit me that hard. I guess people had a stronger opinion of Colby than I did. I liked the guy. I thought he was fine, but he wasn't one of my top 5. So I hear you, Karen. There's a lot of more people like that out there who kind of gave me the what for with regards to my response, but I can't fake tears.
He wasn't one of my favorites in general, but I think it was just like the emotion of, oh my gosh, the, like, her love of her life is no longer here. And then I just lost it.
Yeah. Yeah. They played us pretty good on that one, but
maybe Jamie's death will make Billy cry. On to the last one I have for us that came from YouTube. And it says, I just don't understand why Colby was the person killed off. Hopefully it makes sense in the end, but there were so many other less known cowboys that could have happened to. In response to, I think that's why he was killed. Like, if it was a lesser known, if it was a cowboy without a relationship, if it was a cowboy that was lesser known, it wouldn't have hit it. I mean, we cried, and Taylor Sheridan did a good job evoking emotion out of us, that if it was a lesser known cowboy, it wouldn't have hit as hard. That's my 2 cents.
A couple things in kind of response here. Like, we had at one point asked for the most surprising deaths, and Jared emailed that he thought the sheriff getting killed in the cafe was the one amongst the most surprising, which I definitely agree with. I thought Colby's was more surprising. And I there was a comment on YouTube that I felt really explained why Colby died. Is he died so that Carter could grow. And the reason Carter would grow would be if there was more to Carter's character that's coming in either the next 2 episodes or a potential season 6 with Beth and Rip. So that was the purpose of Colby getting killed. I think it was to sort of benefit Carter's character. And this is also why I think Lloyd dying would be, it would benefit Rip's character, because it would allow him to sort of separate from the ranch a little bit more. Like, if his mentor's not there,
right?
I think Rip could leave with Beth and go somewhere.
Interesting.
But I believe that's the reason why Colby died. I don't think you get that same sort of reaction if Jake or Ethan died. Like, that doesn't seem to the same purpose. Like, Colby's just popular enough to have some emotional resonance with viewers.
I'm so glad that you guys are listening. And as a reminder, sorry, Billy, do you have anything else to add?
I don't. Just staff at tasteofcountry.com. And I want to give a shout out to Candace as well, who sent me sent us a very long and thoughtful email as well. She made some good points, kind of doubled up on some of the ones we discussed as well. But Candace and everybody that emailed, we've had so many emails, and I've really appreciated those. If I don't get back to all of them, I apologize, but it's certainly appreciated.
And just a reminder to send this podcast to your friends, like, review, Spotify, Apple Podcast. I'm sure you guys will be traveling like I am for Christmas. Turn that bad boy on your long car ride, binge it, all the things.
Would you call this a binge-worthy podcast? Oh, look, I'm taking your job. No, I won't. I won't. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Nope. Please do. You've never gotten to close us out, Billy.
No. Because then you're going to be saying, hello, Billy. You know, we can't. This isn't backwards.
Well, y'all, this is it's the Dutton Rules Yellowstone podcast. Is another binge-worthy and emotional-provoking podcast.